This meeting is now being recorded.
Thanks, everyone. And it is May 25th. This is the Competition and Consumer Choice sub-team of the CCP review. I'm Jordan Buchanan, chairing today's call. And we'll start off with a quick question that has anyone got updates to their statements of interest? All right, no. Looks like on the call we've got Jonathan Zook, myself, Kylie Can, Karen Mulberry, Megan Richards, Stan Besson, and Wado Suganga, in addition to staff support. The definition is current, and it looks like Dan has just joined us as well. In addition, I think the agenda is being presented in the notes section, in the big section of the meeting today. The agenda is to, first of all, do what we're doing now, which is welcome. Second, review the work that we've done on our market segmentation work. Then third, to review the project list that we'd sent around last week and see if folks have feedback on that. And importantly, to start to align it to the data sources that we have available. And then finally, and then related to identify any next steps. Is there any other topics that anyone else would like to talk to on today's call? Okay. Let's go ahead and start then. So the first agenda item is the discussion of our sub teams on market segmentation efforts. As a reminder, we have three of those: markets based on topic areas, markets based on geography, and markets based on language. And Megan's asked for separately before we get into this. Megan's asked for a overview of yesterday's meeting that she couldn't attend, and nor could I. So maybe we'll add that to any other business, Megan. Okay, back to the market definition discussion. Why don't we get quick status updates, and we'll see if there's discussion points on the market segmentation efforts. And we'll do this by the order that it shows on the agenda. I think we have rapporteurs for each of these subgroups now. And for the topic area sub team, I think Stan is the rapporteur. So, Stan, can you update us on your efforts?
Nothing new to report. There's a list being circulated, and I'm waiting for responses.
Okay. And Stan, was it you? Someone sent around yesterday another list based on topic area from the 101 domain site, I believe.
I actually did. That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm not sure those are all useful for our purposes, but I thought that might give somebody some additional ideas.
Okay. So you're working off the previous list that you put together as opposed to that one.
Yeah, it was circulated a while back, and I don't want to put it forward as our sub team's response until I hear from the other members of my sub team.
All right, so I'll just ask the other folks on Stan's sub team to get back to him. I'd like to have working market segmentations that we can start to align the projects to by the time we're together in Washington. So that's in about 10 days. So hopefully everyone can get back to Stan shortly. So the next sub team is the geographic-based one. WOWDO, do you want to give us an update on that effort? WOWDO, if you're talking, we can't hear you yet. All right. Still can't hear him, so I'm going to pass by. We'll see if WOWDO can get his audio working. Otherwise, I could maybe jump in.
Hello? Hello? So you can hear me? Okay, sorry. it took a little time to connect. So we had our small sub-team of Jordan and Jonathan. What we have decided is that in our definition of geographic markets, we are going to concentrate on the geopolitical and administrative boundaries. The domain names that are registered be of reference to specific political and administrative boundaries. So we are going to not to take into consideration those ones that are based on ethnic or linguistic or cultural communities. Of course, this will give us some problems with a few TLDs that perhaps fit into the two categories, but for our definition for this particular subgroup, we just decided to concentrate only on political and administrative boundaries. Then there's a little bit of more work that we are going to do. Maybe I'll just tell you as part of our planning for the subgroup. We are planning perhaps for the next presentation to talk about the population shares in the GeoTLD market and a few other things that we are going to look at in regarding the TLDs that are falling under political and administrative boundaries. I think that's it. Unless, of course, my two colleagues would like to add something.
Yeah, so it's Jordan. Well, I think we're getting a bit of echo from you.
Yeah, I'm switching off.
Thank you. The one thing I'll add, WADA's already done some work. When he talked about population shares, WADA's already done some work to identify the top GeoTLDs by total market share. They're generally quite small as a share of total market. I think he identified that I think WADA had identified that .NYC was the largest of the new TLDs with 77,000 registrations, but that's 0.43% of the total new GTLD registrations. So our goal in looking at the population share was to see what fraction of the world's population, but I think even more helpful would be the registrant population base New York City represented, and see what that meant about how GeoTLDs were doing in terms of potential registration base. So just to provide some context around that. Any questions for WOWDO or for sub team? All right, then we'll move to the language-based group, and I think Dan had volunteered to be the rapporteur for that group.
Yeah, thank you. We are still working on the list of language-based streams, but we had some progress with draft of definition, and I will send in the chat our draft definition, and the other people in the group can post their comments or. But it's so far still it's the draft. We are not 100% agree on that definition. So we are still working as well on the list and on definition. I'm sending right now.
Thanks, Dan. And when you say, thanks. And when you say you're looking at language-based strings, does that just mean you're looking at strings that are in languages or would appeal to languages other than English, or are you looking somehow for like a not Spanish sort of TLD, or would you just look for something like, I don't know, Hotais would be an example of a Portuguese string.
Yeah, we're looking on strings in other languages than English, and also we include in that list all IDN strings.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. That's helpful. Any questions for Dan?
Here's the draft of definition.
All right, Dan's put a draft of the definition in the chat if anyone has any feedback on that. We're going a minute to read it. Anyone phone only? There's someone that's phone only. Two people. 310-566. And let me just change into a real person. I think to me that definition looks fine. It's mostly a question of identifying them and then gathering them by language.
Jonathan has had his hand up, Jordan.
Sorry, what?
Jonathan had his hand up.
Oh, Jonathan did have his hand up? Oh, I scrolled down. Sorry about that. Jonathan, go ahead.
No problem. I wrote it. I see in the definition something about spoken language in countries and territories, and it seems to me that if there's already a geographic thing, that linguistically it might transcend national boundaries. I mean, like, you know, French is spoken in a lot of different places. Spanish is spoken in a lot of different places. And so conceivably the linguistic based market definition could transcend national boundaries.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, I suppose, the particular example of that might also be, someone had registered a Latin TLD, which I don't think anyone did, that might be something that's not spoken in any country really, but still would be linguistically based. That makes sense to me. Dan, do you have a thought on the tie to the country and territories?
I don't have any answer on this in this moment. I'll discuss it with Megan and Kylie on email. I'm not sure at the moment what to answer on that. But generally, if languages are in some of these countries, Jonathan mentioned, I don't know, for example, Spanish. I think that Spanish is generally official language in more many countries in South America. Also French is some countries in Africa, I think it's generally official. Maybe it's not the first language, but as a second, it's written in the law that it's people in that country speak and can, I don't know, have conversation with public administration on that language. But maybe there's a reason for delay that in definition. We'll consider that.
Thanks, Dehan. Jordan, if you don't mind, I'll follow up a little bit. I think part of the source of my question is as we explore the choice issue, which is about potential restaurants having a choice of places to go for second level TLDs, right? And at the same time, we are in the application evaluation process, looking at why there's been an under application, probably not the word I'm looking for, an under participation in the program of the developing world. We might still find that enterprising people in the global north have created linguistic-based strings that present choice and that are made available to folks that are for where there isn't a registry operator or registry service provider, but still have created a new choice for that market. And so that's why I might be creating a Spanish-based top-level domain here in the United States that has, in fact, created choice for folks that are elsewhere. I don't know if that makes sense.
Thanks, Jonathan. Sounds like Dan's going to take that back to speak some more with Megan and Kylie and hopefully incorporate that feedback. I agree on the geographic group. We had looked at the Wikipedia definition of a GOTLD, and it included factors such as language and ethnic group. And as Wado indicated, we're inclined not to include those other factors just to keep the definition sort of purely focused on the geographic scope. So it may make sense on the language side to do the same thing and not incorporate these other factors that potentially overlap. But I see Kylie has his hand up as well now. So go ahead, Kylie.
Yes. Well, I agree with the proposed definition by Yijian. And, as a language, especially in the Asia-Pacific region, is especially diverse. Many of them not in Latin characters or alphabet, and many not even a spelled language, for example, Chinese. But also, for example, Chinese also has a so-called pinyin version. Pinyin is an assistant for pronouncing Chinese characters. And some of those GTLDs are in China are actually using pinyin. So, well, it's probably the most diverse and complex in the Asia-Pacific region. Well, that needs some careful consideration. Thank you.
Thanks, Kylie. That's a great point. And maybe just to give people a good example of that, Google applied for three variations of China, of the Chinese TLD based on the Chinese tradition of Google, which is Guga. I'm not pronouncing it very well, probably. But there's two IDNs, both a traditional and a simplified Chinese IDN TLDs for Guga, but then also a pinyin, which is just G-U-G-E in ASCII, but that's intended to be a Chinese transliteration of Google, and I would certainly say that ought to count as a Chinese TLD, even though it's written in an ASCII script.
And in addition, to further complicate the issue, is that the Chinese has a simplified form, which is used primarily in mainland China and also, I believe, in Singapore or Taiwan and Hong Kong, although Chinese, but they have traditional characters. Well, so that the appearance of the same character will look different and in different written forms. So, well, it's pretty complicated. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kylie. I guess that raises the question of whether we would consider simplified the different written forms of Chinese to qualify as different markets, even though the spoken language might be the same across them. I think that's an interesting question for the sub-team to take up as to whether simplified and traditional TLDs on the IDN side ought to count as the same language or separate languages for a market definition purpose.
Excuse me, hello? It's just one more comment on that. Well, both Taiwan and mainland China have agreed that no matter simplified form or traditional form, they're both the same language. However, I believe the IDN is not exactly fully settled yet. So I don't know what is the current status, but that has been an issue for quite a few years so far. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kylie. So it sounds like the language group has a little bit of a challenge, at least around this particular topic. So look to see what you guys come up with. So just to recap what I said at the top of the call, I'd like to agree on a set of deliverables for each of the sub teams by the time we all convene in Washington in June. And what I was going to propose is that we have managed by that point to firm up these definitions and then also had each of the teams with a proposed set of market segments to use in terms of analysis. So, for example, the topic area base group might, you know, have, I don't know how many is on Stan's list already, but it might have 10 topic-based clusters that we could use to perform some analysis, and the geography group might use each of the cities that there's TLDs for, or might maybe define other geographic regions, including ones where cities don't apply. For example, I think that in Germany, there's a TLD for Bayern, which is more like a state or a sub, a larger geographic region that Munich happens to also be in, but is a bigger region, so it might be useful to look at some of those bigger divisions as well. But in any case, you know, maybe 10 or 20, however many geographic segmentations make sense. And similarly, on the language side, I would imagine we might even almost be able to be exhaustive, since there's probably less languages represented or fewer languages represented than the other groups. But whatever the sub-team thinks is the sub-sub-team thinks is the right set of segments. So come to DC with both a definition that we're using that we can put in our final report, as well as proposed individual segments that we can do analysis on. That seem like a reasonable goal to everyone? All right. Seeing concurrence in the chat, so we will assume that everyone agrees with Megan and Jonathan that that's a reasonable approach. All right, so we have some homework then for between now and DC that hopefully we can get everyone on. And in the meantime, I'm going to move on to the next topic on the agenda, which is to review the project list. And then start to consider that relative to the relevant data sources and what we need to do in terms of next steps there. So Stan put together the project list. I've put it into a Google Doc, which I shared last week. I don't think I've seen any additional edits to the project list, unfortunately. But maybe, Stan, could I ask you to quickly run through the objectives of the project list and maybe a quick recap of the ones that are already represented there?
Well, first place, it's at this point, it's my project list, it's not been, as Jordan points out, no one has responded to it. I was hoping that I would get both comments on these and suggestions for additional projects, but for better or worse, this is where I am at this point. And I think these are fairly straightforward projects. I try to identify what data were required to respond to each of them, In a couple of cases, I suggested that it might not actually be able to do some of these, but I put them down nonetheless. I don't want to go through the whole list because it'll take me a while. I mean, everybody has seen it, and I'm just curious as to what kind of responses people have to that and whether they have additions.
Sure, that's a great place to start. All right, I will open the floor up. Does anyone have thoughts on the project list that Stan put together? I guess the context I'll add is that we were trying to use this as a seed, as Stan suggests, for folks to either edit or, importantly, suggest additional projects, but we wanted to give good examples of how these project lists could be scoped such that they could be acted on by staff or analysis group or whoever we thought the right group to actually perform some of this analysis was. And so one thing I'll ask is feedback from the working from the sub-team, but then I may also try to get some feedback from staff as to whether we think these are specified well enough that they could actually be executed on. So let's go ahead and first get the feedback on. Actually, I'm going to reverse that. I wonder if anyone from it looks like Greg's not on the call today, so we can't get feedback from analysis group. From the staff side, have you guys had a chance to review Stan's list, and do these look well specified enough that we think that, assuming that we had existing data sets, that we could either staff or analysis group, or maybe we need to hire someone else to perform the analysis, could actually sort of crunch these numbers?
Sure. This is Aliza. I can address that. I'll just scroll through them one by one. Under the Project 1 category, and I think Stan notes this in his footnotes, these are all numbers that we do have that we can provide either from the monthly transaction reports, which, as Dan notes, we can provide those publicly after 3 months after they've been submitted. Otherwise, there are other sources for coming up with different registration numbers. So that seems reasonable to me. Under the second project, excuse me, for the concentration ratios and HHIs, I think the data for this certainly exists. I'm not sure if this is best. This may be best done by analysis group and not by staff, or perhaps calculated by the team itself. So I'd have to think about that one a little bit more. Scrolling forward. On the third one, the price analysis, depending on how many prices you want to look at, obviously this is the data that analysis group is gathering. ICANN doesn't have access to this, so this would have to come from them as well. And similarly for the fourth one. And I'm sorry, I've looked at all of these. I need to look at it again to remind myself of the responses.
And Aliza, sorry, it's Jordan. I just wanted to clarify. I think the goal here is not like whether I don't think we need to at this point determine like whether it should be staff or analysis group or someone else doing the work, or whether the data is available at this point. But just asking the question of are these well specified enough? If we agreed, like for example, in number one, you said that you think that data is available and staff could do it. Would you have enough definition from this description that Stan's given that you could perform that work?
Yeah, I certainly would begin to do that. And I feel like we answered some of these questions in the Google Sheet that you'd put together, Jordan, with the required data and the data sources, and we talked about what was available. And I think pretty much everything that's in this document maps back to that. And I indicated there, you know, what's available and what could be done with those data sources.
Right. Okay, so I think we could have we'll get to in a minute the discussion of data availability. And I think maybe offline, Aliza, we can have a conversation about sort of identifying if we want to proceed with these projects, who, you know, who should do them, and like, do we need, should it be staff analysis group? Do we need third parties? Is it the group itself? I just mostly wanted to get a general sense of what this seemed like the right level of specificity for you guys to be able to take action if needed. It sounds like the answer to that is yes, so this is a good template for us to use at least.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, great. So I see in the meantime Kylie has raised his hand, so Kylie, go ahead.
Thank you. But just to clarify, so basically we're going to do two calculations. One is using for all registrants, and the second calculation will be using the non-park registrants. Is that correct?
So are you talking about project number one, that right, Kylie?
Actually, that's the first line. Perform all calculations using data for both all registrants and all non-park registrants. That means we're going to do two calculations, just to clarify if my understanding is correct or not. Thank you.
Okay, that's a great question, Kylie. Is that right? Do you intend for each of these sub-bullets, there would be, you'd have one and really 1A. One would be number of registrants over the number of registrants, new versus all, and then you would redo that with non-parked. I can't hear you, Stan. You may be on mute. If you're...
Jordan, are you asking me that question?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, I think Kyle was asking to clarify what that line is.
Yeah, the reason I put it up at the top is that I intend for it to apply to every project. The reason is that there are a large number of park domains, according to one of the data sources, and it seems to me that, at least as I think about them, it might be appropriate to put those in a different category. And since that data source provides the data on both in both ways, we could easily calculate do every calculation for both data sets or for both sets of data.
Okay, that makes sense. I think.
Thanks,
Kylie. So Stan, I had another question about the project. So I'll jump in since there's no one else in the queue. In project one, for example, maybe throughout, you talk about number of registrants. And I think of a registrant as an individual who may have one or more domain names registered. Are you thinking about this as number of registrants or as number of domain names?
Domains. In fact, sometimes they're called registrants. NTLD stats refers to them as domains, and that's what I mean.
Okay. I think that's probably an easier definition to use. Otherwise, we have to somehow correlate back the domains registered to individual registrants, which is probably a challenging exercise.
You're quite right, and they call in domains, but I believe in other contexts, these are sometimes referred to as registrants.
Right. Okay. So we may want to come up with, as part of this, Stan, and I can maybe take a pass at doing it, a set of definitions at the top, just so we can all agree on what the units of measure that we're using further down are.
And in many cases, of course, it's going to be dictated by the way the data are assembled.
Correct. Yeah. Agreed. all right. Any do other folks have questions or comments for Stan on the project list that we put together so far?
Actually, I would just ask people to go over this again, and I don't pretend that this is complete. I probably, if I had more time, I would have added more projects. So I would very much appreciate other people's thoughts about additional projects that we should be undertaking.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the next thing I was going to suggest. One question I have for you, Stan, just to try to understand how we should be scoping this. So you have a price analysis in project four, and you have a volume analysis in sort of project one, or market share analysis in project one. In your mind, would it be a separate project to sort of intersect those two and look at the relationship between price and volume, or is that implied by the fact that we have those other projects done that we could easily do that?
I think of them as two different types of analysis. The ones, like for example, one and two, are I think of as market structure. You describe concentration, okay, and that's a way of characterizing the structure of the market. The price analysis, which I think is a general matter, is harder to do for a whole series of reasons, is what economists usually talk about as performance. And there, the analysis would be, simplest terms, try to relate the degree of concentration to the observed level of prices. And so I think of those as, they use some of the same data, but they're one of them just looks at structure, and the other looks at outcomes.
Thanks. So I guess it's not obvious to me just looking at Project 3. And so if there's it looks like we're looking at prices and getting data on that, but not necessarily relating it to the volume or the outcomes of the.
That's true of Project 3. Project 3 is a descriptive, you're quite right. Project 3 is an attempt to describe what prices look like. And I'm particularly interested there in the question of whether or not the entry of new GTLDs has had any observable effect on the prices charged by legacy GTLDs. I'm not sure we can do that because I'm not sure we actually have access to those data, but I'd be interested in that. Sub 2 and 3 under that are basically attempt to sort of, again, to describe what prices look like in the new and the new GTLDs. Project 4 is really, Project 4 sub 2 is really an attempt to do what I described earlier, which is to say, are in cases where there is more concentration among registrars for a given registry, are the observed markups higher? Is there a relationship between the observed markups and the extent to which there's competition among registrars for a given registry?
Okay, thanks, Dan. So I guess it might be either a separate project or a separate sub-bullet to say, let's look at, say, retail prices per TLD and see whether that's related to the number of registrations in that TLD.
Yes, that's correct. But again, I think this all uses the same data. I mean, in all cases, we're talking about collecting data on, if you like, market structure or shares or something like that, and prices. I think the price analysis, while we're talking about this, is going to be very hard. For example, one thing that struck me when I looked at the data source that Jonathan identified earlier was how variable the retail prices are for a given registry. And that actually is a very serious sort of problem to try to overcome in terms of analysis, because there's nothing like, it's not easy to describe what the price is that you're analyzing.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think it may be that we'll have to look at other factors. My impression is certainly that some of the TLDs that have very high registration volumes, at least the wholesale price are very low. And so I would guess that if we were able to get the data together, we would see a fairly strong correlation between these lower price TLDs and volume, not exclusively. Some of them have achieved success through other factors such as marketing or maybe the quality of the TLD. But certainly there's a number of TLDs that are high up the registration volume list that are very low priced, at least for a large number of their domains. So
let me make another small point here. But to some degree, what I have in mind here are what I think of it are often called descriptive statistics. They're no attempt to describe behavior. They're just either with respect to price or shares. We can just describe as best we can what the markets look like. A more complicated analysis is the one that looks tries to is the one you were describing just a moment ago, which is describing or analyzing behavior. That's just inherently harder as a general matter, and is even more challenging here because of data issues. But I put those in different categories. We may not get beyond descriptive statistics in our final report. I think that's a real possibility.
All right, thanks, Dan. That's a helpful clarification. All right, any other comments, questions, suggestions at this point before we turn to homework on the project list? Scroll down again so I can't see if anyone's raising their hand. All right, looks like no. So Alice has asked in the chat what the deadline you'd like to propose for comments on the project list. I think once again, I'd like to spend some time in our DC meeting sort of talking about how we're actually going to perform these projects, or in some cases, maybe we could even ask for some initial analysis on this in DC. So why don't we set a deadline for maybe not a deadline. Why don't we ask for people to try to take a look at this week, and certainly by the time, by a week from today, so I guess that would be the date of our next plenary call, try to provide some feedback. So I'll ask everyone to read the project list, and please try to think of additional projects or analysis that you'd like to see performed. I think if we don't identify this fairly soon, it's just not going to happen for this report. So if you're wondering something, or you think it would be helpful to know something as we put together our analysis, I think we're going to need to get this identified in projects right away so that we can achieve the rest of our milestones. All right. Okay, so that runs us through our agenda, but we had added to any other business a summary of yesterday's discussion on the application and evaluation process. I'm wondering if someone that was on that call yesterday might be able to volunteer to give us a brief summary of that call.
Jordan, I can speak to that. Dan and Wado were on as well, but I'm happy to give a summary of particularly what we're going to be doing next.
Thank you.
Excuse me. So we had set up these calls initially based on the breakout groups that you all had identified with at your Los Angeles meeting, breaking up the program implementation review report into different chapter sections, which I think, Jordan, you had done. I think we didn't have clear expectations for these groups. So the first group that met was actually on Monday, excuse me, and they discussed three chapters having to do with the applicant support program and some related issues. And that was actually it was a useful discussion. It helped us wrap our heads a little bit more around how to reach those who either withdrew from the application process or those who can actually apply. Yesterday's discussion was focused on two chapters, three and four, on objection procedures and contention resolution. And it ended up being kind of a short discussion. We talked a little bit about these topics in the lens of what the team is interested in learning about, and we decided to regroup. But after talking it over among staff and then having a conversation with Jonathan about his expectations on what this portion of the review would do, we've decided to hold off on holding these calls until we get to a point where we have a little bit of a better structure, excuse me, understanding how we want to approach this portion of the review. So one task that staff has taken on, I think at Jonathan's very good suggestion, is to look at all of the different data sources we've come across so far, including all the ones that have been recommended on the list by all of you, and trying to map those back to the sort of high-level brainstorming research questions you've come up with at your Los Angeles meeting, so we can see what we have and what maps back to those particular questions, and then allow for the discussion and analysis to go from there. So I think I'll stop there, Dan, or Wado, or Jonathan, since you're on, if you want to add anything to that. Or if not, I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Lisa. It looks like that's answered Megan's question as well. So is the plan then, Lisa, will we be discussing this more at the DC meeting or on the plenary to figure out how to proceed with the sub teams on the front of the application analysis, application evaluation project? I see Jonathan has his hand up, so I'll kick it over to him.
Hey, Jordan, don't mean to hijack your call, but the I think what we want to do, what we had done in L.A. was a document-centric organization, and I think where we seem to be having the most success is on sort of a question-centered focus on these. And so I think making individual assignments for the questions that we raised as part of the application evaluation process and then associating multiple publications with those questions is the way forward. But before, I was hoping on our next call with you and Lorene that we would get on the same page about these things before the DC meeting. But that's kind of where my inclination was to go.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Jonathan. All right, looks like that's addressed Megan's question. So unless anyone else has other questions about that call, we'll get this bit of business wrapped up. And that also brings us to the end of our agenda for today. So I'll do a last call if there's any other topics folks would like to discuss today.
Yeah, this is Stan. I just want a quick report on a call we had with Center yesterday.
Oh, sure. That would be great.
Which I think was very useful. I believe Center has agreed to provide us with their best estimate of the total number of, I'll call them registrants, in CCTLDs, in their member CCTLDs. In addition, for a subset, a large subset of their members, they will be able to provide us, I think they will provide us registration data on a TLD by TLD basis. That would be very useful to have. I learned two things yesterday about Center. One is that when they describe data worldwide, they don't really mean that. They mean their members, not all of whom turn out to be European, I discovered. So we're missing data on CCTLDs that are not members of Center. With that in mind, we've made an effort to, Carlton has started the effort to try to get data from the equivalent organization in Latin America. I think there's also an equivalent organization in the Middle East. And if we want to get comprehensive CCTLD TLD data, we're going to have to approach them. Finally, apparently, Center has done some market analysis where they have defined markets in a couple of different ways, and I believe they have agreed to supply us with information about the various methodologies that they used, which may turn out to be useful to us in thinking about market definition.
Okay, thanks, Dan. That sounds like it was a very productive call.
It was.
Excellent. That's great to hear. And it looks like we're identifying some other regional organizations on the list. So if Carlton's taking the lead on contacting the Latin American organization, I wonder if we couldn't look for if there are CCTRT members who have contacts at these other organizations, it might be helpful to reach out. I'll volunteer. I think I have contacts at the APTLD organization, so happy to reach out to them. And WADO's volunteered to reach out to the AFTLD group. So if folks have other contacts, please let us know, and we'll see what we can do about reaching the other regional organizations. I think my guess is that Center has is somewhat more advanced in terms of the data collection and analysis than some of these other organizations.
Jordan, I went to the website for the Latin American one, and there's a report that looks like it has the data we want, but it's locked. So I've requested a locksmith.
all right.
To deal with this.
Okay, well, we'll hope that the Carlton's effort is successful at opening that report. And it sounds like we've got a couple of other outreach efforts underway as well. And if it sounds like we don't currently have a contact if there's a Middle East-based organization, so we may have to do a call to a broader CCTRT to see if we can pull that off. But it sounds like we've got Latin America, Africa, and potentially Asia-Pacific covered if our initial outreach efforts are successful.
By the way, it turns out that, for example, the Chinese TLD is apparently a member of Center, or at least they have data for the number of registrants in that. So they're much more comprehensive than Europe, which came as a surprise to me.
Yes, maybe they need to rebrand their organization. All right, and any other business that people would like to add? I see Megan's leaving, but that's probably perfect timing because I think we've reached the end of our call today. So thanks, everyone, for your time. Once again, please do take note of your homework for each of the sub-teams. We're looking for a final definition and proposed groupings of TLDs for the market segmentation effort prior to the Washington call, Washington face-to-face, and for everyone to please review the project list and make suggestions. I hope everyone can make at least one concrete suggestion to the project list over the next week. That would be very helpful. All right, thanks, everyone, and we will we won't speak again before the Washington meeting as a sub-team, so I'll see you there, and thanks.